Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam from GolfUnfiltered.com, the new and improved GolfUnfiltered.com. I'll get to that here in a second. You could follow me on Twitter at GolfUnfiltered, and you could send me an email, GolfUnfiltered@gmail.com. Go ahead and look us up on Instagram as well. So before we get into today's guest, I wanted to explain a little bit about what's been going on with the website. So if you listened to the last episode, you probably remember that I mentioned we had been attacked by malware. And let me tell you, it's not fun. So if you were to go to GolfUnfiltered.com about as recently as a couple weeks ago, actually maybe a week ago, it was going to send you to some weird casino site if you got lucky. And I heard from a few other followers that it sent them to some not safe for workplaces. So I do apologize for that, folks. It was a little bit of a stressful time to get things cleaned up. I'm happy to report that that has occurred. I went ahead and I switched internet hosts or website hosts. I went ahead and switched actual from WordPress to Squarespace. And I got to say, you know, Squarespace is a really cool platform, and they are not a sponsor of the site or anything, but I just wanted to go and see what was available. I had used WordPress for years prior to making this switch, and I gotta say I'm pretty pleased with the way that the site turned out. There's probably going to be some more enhancements and some edits to the site as time goes on, but I think if you were to go out there today, you'll see pretty much what I'm talking about. So very pleased with all of that. Before I get too ahead of myself, I also want to give shout outs to our friends over at the Hackers Paradise. All of you who may be listening to this over at THP. I also want to say hello to our friends over at Cleveland and Srixon, as well as our friends over at BudgetGolf.com. Be sure to go and visit BudgetGolf.com and take a look at all the great products and deals that they got over there. Today's guest is Mr. Jason Yip, the founder of State Apparel. Now, you guys know that I typically try to review golf equipment, maybe not so much apparel on the website these days, but what's interesting about State Apparel is they are really pushing you to think differently about your golf polos, golf pants, golf shorts, everything that you actually wear onto the course. And they actually view their products as golf equipment, and Jason and I talk a little bit about what I mean by that in today's conversation. So I have tried a polo from State Apparel. It's an extremely high quality piece of clothing. You can go and visit State Apparel at stateapparel.com, and we mentioned a few other ways that you get in touch with Jason and his team during the conversation today. So without much more chatting here, let's get going and let's get into this great conversation that I think you're really going to enjoy with Mr. Jason Yip, founder of State Apparel. Welcome back, everybody. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I am very happy to welcome Mr. Jason Yip, founder of State Apparel, onto the show today. Jason, thank you so much for taking some time today to speak with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here, Adam.
A lot of buzz around State Apparel right now. I know you guys are still, a little bit smaller in terms of an apparel company, and you're gaining momentum as people are certainly interested in golf apparel and different indie brands. I know I am, and listeners to this show definitely are as well. But for folks who might not have heard of State Apparel before, why don't you give our listeners a little bit of background on not only the name, but also why you got started in the apparel business?
Of course. Like you mentioned, relatively small company, kind of doing it our own way, not trying to go big from the start. State Apparel is based in San Francisco. It's also where, we're based, but it was also where we manufacture our clothing. So definitely taking the approach of the socially responsible golf clothing business. And then kind of why we got started or what we're known for is really developing clothing that we felt wasn't available in the marketplace. There's a lot of performance clothing. There's a lot of more traditional you call it preppy kind of golf clothing. Mm-hmm. We wanted clothing that was best suited for San Francisco style weather. So there are heavier options that kind of help in the wind and the rain and with dirt around. And the key idea for us was to transform clothing into equipment by incorporating wiping panels into the pocket and into the cuff and into the shirts, parts of our shirts, so that they were an on-the-spot solution for water and dirt, which we realized from playing golf, of course, around San Francisco and even watching professional golfers that that water and dirt being the persistent problem for golfers, in a sense that it's everywhere and it can affect our game pretty pretty drastically as far as contact with the ball and how the ball rolls on the green.
You know, and that is an interesting concept you talk about, you know, and on your website, stateapparel.com, you talk a little bit about reinventing golf wear, and you just kind of touched a little bit on that, Jason, regarding the panels, the specific wipe panels that you have in your shirts, as well as some of your competition pants and your shorts. That is truly an innovative idea, and where did that come from? I mean, you had mentioned a little bit about how you want golfers to remain focused on the shot, not have to go back and grab their towel. Was that truly the main reason, or was that something that you struggled with on the course yourself?
Yeah, great question. I think definitely the concept was to reinvent golf wear, what we call, you know, our clothing with the functional aspect is more like equipment for your body. Not only do we offer the functional aspect, but we offer clothing in different weights. So really it's functional plus picking and choosing the right garment for the conditions and your habits. And then of course, pick and choosing the right thing for the conditions, just like we do our golf clubs, our shoes and things like that. And, you know, it was something that I think definitely, something that I noticed in my own game as far as going out in San Francisco with sand on the green or picking up blades, grass and water and whatnot. But, you know, something that I noticed amongst the pros, you know, if you watch the pros closely, somebody like Tiger Woods is always wiping his putter on his pants. Or even somebody like Jason Day might take a practice chip and wipe his blade or his wedge face on his pants. Or people, you know, may wipe their putter with their hands and then take it to their pants and wipe it off there. It just was something that was pretty prevalent with the golfers that I was seeing. I was seeing it with recreational golfers and just realized that it was a need that wasn't really being addressed in golf. Most brands were really making lifestyle clothing that was very intentionally suited for people to wear to the golf course, then, you know, somehow were out to dinner with their wives or go to work. And that didn't really make sense to me as somebody that was pursuing kind of more meaning in the golf clothing, things that were golf specific and functional. And the analogy I always like to make is when I go cycling, I wear the spandex shorts with the pad in the butt. And that is equipment for your body. And then golf, we just never really had that for golf clothing.
That is an interesting point. And I know that a lot of apparel companies, we've reviewed quite a few on the site, spoken to many on this podcast, and they try to go that path of clothing that you can wear, like you mentioned, not only at the office, out in the town, but also on the golf course. And I always found that to be hit or miss, you know, like I don't know about you, Jason, but I don't want to play 18 holes and then immediately go out to a bar or a restaurant because I want to go home and shower. You know, I want to get out of those clothes.
Exactly. I'm totally with you. I don't know many people that do that either. And, you know, brands put that kind of concept out there thinking that we will, or some people believe that that's what other people are doing. I just was never like that. So I'm with you. And I think golfers in general, at least for now, we're just making men's golf clothing. We are developing some women's golf clothing, but I can speak to maybe, what the mindset of most men's golfers is pretty resistant to change, pretty set in their ways. We can stick with the brand for the rest of our life and also kind of buy into that lifestyle or kind of clothing cycle that they get us into. So it's pretty easy for us to stick to our ways. And that's why we kind of came out with our product to kind of shake things up and really start to have golfers question why they're doing things and not just accepting the status quo and going with the flow as most men golfers, myself included, have done for so long.
You did have the chance to send over a sample, and I had the chance to try it out, of one of your golf polos. And as you mentioned, it is a little bit heavier fabric. It's definitely a shirt that would be best suited on the golf course, so I totally understand where you're coming from. And even just wearing the shirt, listeners, you should know that this is an extremely well-made piece of clothing. The fabric is high quality. It feels like a premium shirt. And it's definitely something that, you know, I'll be honest, I probably wouldn't wear off the golf course, but it is certainly something that I would wear, especially during the autumn in the Midwest where I'm located, where, as we were talking a little bit earlier, Jason, it does get a little bit cooler. And you mentioned how it really needs to be a functional of fabric and a functional piece of clothing for the conditions in which you're playing. You offer a lot of different shirt options, a lot of different pant options, and even outerwear. What other thoughts go behind the design of State Apparel that sets it apart from others that we might see in stores?
Yeah, I think you're kind of getting to the point there where we'll offer different weights for different conditions. We'll offer, for example, the shirt you have is a bit heavier weight and it has a wiping panel inside. And it is a very high quality performance fabric that's similar to what you see from, you know, Under Armour or Nike. It is a higher quality in a sense that it's a heavier weight, higher spandex content and things like that. So we hope to kind of differentiate and kind of offer a higher quality product. And yet we'll still offer, you know, some people aren't in the performance shirt kind of mindset all the time. So we do offer other types of fabrics, 100% cotton blends, as well as some sustainable choices as far as bamboo blends and even recycled polyester. So what sets us apart is that we're not just set on one type of fabric. We're really approaching this very holistically, thinking about a golfer and what a golfer needs. A golfer doesn't need, for example, if you go to Nike and you have all performance fabrics, I mean, if you need a performance shirt, that's great. But if you want something else, then you don't have very many options with each brand or, you know, other brands out there that offer just cotton shirts. You know, that's great when you want a cotton shirt. But, you know, as a brand, we hope to be able to cater to a golfer's every need as opposed to just one style or one type of being known for one type of fabric. So that's, you know, I think for our shirts, that's how we set ourselves apart from other brands. Of course, they're made in San Francisco. And for us, it's important to have something that, you know, means something rather than just sending it overseas and bringing it back and selling it for low cost. We get a higher quality product. We are able to support the factories here in our hometown, and we just think it's more meaningful to do business that way.
Well, just a quick look at the website, and again, listeners, it's stateapparel.com. You immediately get the sense that you remember where you came from, and it's quite clear on the website that you want to stay true to your roots. You even said it a couple times in our conversation so far, and you even go so far as to state that State Apparel is a state of mind. And you talk a little bit about being socially responsible and, you know, remaining aware of the, you know, the eco impact that everything you make has on the environment. You know, what goes behind that line of thinking? You know, is this always the goal that you guys had to maintain that level of responsibility in anything that you manufacture?
It definitely was our mindset from day one, and social responsibility or being responsible with our actions, I mean, is a core component to our brand, to our mindset. It's not the only aspect, I would say. The other aspect, as you're mentioning, when you talk about, for us, you know, staying true to where we're from, and that's Northern California, the Bay Area, San Francisco, and getting, as we get more specific with where we're from, staying true to that was also kind of staying true to my background, coming from building internet startups from scratch over the last, 13, 14 years, and learning and taking what I learned from building startups as far as the concepts of innovation, building products, designing products with solutions to problems, and then applying that to industries and essentially disrupting certain industries that are pretty set in their way. So that is the other side of what it means to us to be from California, to be more specifically from the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, and San Francisco. And that's where the functional aspects of our clothing come in, to really bring that innovation to golf. And that's also essentially where the name comes from as far as being from California, what we think is what we call the Golden State. And of course, distilling that to the name state as in the Golden State, and carry that through to the state of mind. So for golfers that aren't from California, they may have traveled to California at some point, spent some time in the Bay Area, have fond memories of that, or can associate, the way they play the game as far as where they approach life. They can associate themselves with that. You don't really have to be from California to understand where we're coming from. And I think a lot of people that we've met along the way also live their lives like that, whether they're from here or, from Saskatchewan. We've had people travel to our new store in San Francisco from Saskatchewan or France or from the other side of the world over in Australia. So, I think what we're putting out there, it seems to be resonating as far as the state of mind, how people, whether they how they live their life, how they play the game, or how they compete at golf, is really what we hope to touch on, and it seems to be resonating with golfers all around the world.
In addition to your online presence, you're already found in private golf clubs, premium resorts, but as you also mentioned, you also now have a brick and mortar store in the Bay Area. What can you tell me about the unique features found in the urban clubhouse?
Yeah, we opened our first shop here in San Francisco. It's in the Marina Kauhalo district in San Francisco, where a lot of golfers live. The golf shop for me was always knew that I had to bring something more to the neighborhood than just a clothing store, especially a clothing store just for men. I mean, for me as a shopper, I may walk through a store, if I don't see anything I like or I'm not really interested, then I would just walk out. But for us, we've incorporated a launch monitor kind of hitting Bay Area where people can swing, take some swings on their way to work or from work. People can enjoy a local beer and hang out with the other golfers that have dropped in to see what's going on. And within that space, it's definitely more of a community space, a hub for the golf community, where we host events with golf course architects, golf professionals, and kind of create these forums for conversation in real life rather than just on the internet. These forums where people can contribute, they can learn, they can be a part of the conversation. It's what we call the urban clubhouse. It's the urban clubhouse of the golfer's home away from the course, in a sense that in San Francisco, as it is probably in Chicago, where you're from, or where other people are living in other great golf cities like New York or DC or Boston, where they have their urban lifestyle with so many things pulling for their time. This is a way to be able to have that home away from the course as kind of an extension from the golf course into the neighborhood where they live, and be able to have a dose of golf every day or more conveniently whenever they need it or want it, in a sense. So that's where we're coming from on the retail side of things.
What's interesting about that is you've literally provided a spot for the community, as you mentioned, to just drop in, hit a few golf balls, maybe have a beer or two. And there are other ways that State Apparel has connected with the community, and one that I noticed was the whole concept of Save Sharp Park. You guys had a limited run special edition head cover that you featured on the website, and this was an effort to help save a pretty beloved local golf course that I believe was designed by Alistair McKenzie. Is that right?
Absolutely. The good doctor himself designed that course back in 1932. It's a special, very special thing, whether you play golf or not. Just the fact that he put that very near San Francisco. It's actually in a small town called Pacifica, and the San Francisco Recreation and Parks Department owns and manages that course since the 30s. So that's a special course that Dr. McKenzie wanted to be, say, similar to Cypress Point, but a very public, public version of that, so that everybody could play one of his courses, in a sense. And the city of San Francisco has been kind of operating that as a pretty basic municipal golf course, no frills kind of place. And it's great that the locals have taken it on as their own, and it's a very, I'd say, every man's golf course that people play and play day in and day out. And a local group known as the San Francisco Public Golf Alliance, they've been friends of mine for a long time, have taken it upon themselves to make sure that they can, ultimately restore it and repair it to its full Alistair McKenzie potential. But there were, in San Francisco, there's always, the potential to lose a course to real estate developers or environmentalists in the area who want to shut it down. So it's just been a long and drawn out process to make sure that it stays Sharp Park. And fortunately, there's been a lot of progress to establish it as a historical landmark. And now with guys like Tom Doak and Jay Blasi, who did built out Chambers Bay, people coming in to do the work to restore it and repair it to its full potential, so that the locals, of course, can enjoy it. And of course, everybody traveling through the Bay Area should definitely stop by and check it out. And honestly, golf in the city is a special thing. We have so many great golf courses. Of course, there's the extremely well-known golf courses, but then a lot of local, more local spots that just have so much character that I really feel like everybody, I'd wish that everybody could have a chance to experience it. And of course, Sharp Park being so near and dear to our hearts, our friends are pushing hard to make sure it stays there. And for us, whatever we can do to help, whatever we can do to help as far as using our supply chain to make really unique custom things, mm-hmm. also using our retail store to help spread the word and maintain awareness and just telling the story. And that's what it's been all about with the retail store, is just sharing our story and people hang out and they like to talk. Golfers like to talk golf.
That's true. They certainly do. Believe me. I mean, that's why we're talking about what you guys do over at State Apparel.
Yeah, exactly.
Support your local courses. We have the same or similar efforts here in the Chicagoland area, and what you're doing over there at State Apparel with the local courses is just admirable. And, Jason, I'll get you out of here on a final question, and it's a tough one. It might take a little bit of thinking here, but, getting into the apparel business, I imagine, is extremely difficult, especially in a very saturated market, and especially among a group of consumers like golfers who can be pretty particular about the things they like to purchase. What has been the biggest challenge for State Apparel up to this point?
Oh, great question. all of that, all of those kind of considerations, I mean, for sure, we came across clothing is hyper competitive. Golfers are very set in their ways. And for us starting this business, we didn't come from clothing backgrounds. Like I mentioned, I came from an internet startup background, mm-hmm. Building mobile apps and advertising networks and things like that. So the first challenge, I guess you could say, was figuring out how to make clothing. And luckily, there are a lot of great clothing and sewing resources here in San Francisco. And you know, that just is, I mean, that's pretty normal just to have to figure out how to do all of this. So, you know, I wasn't as concerned about that. It's more about, once you make a product and you try to put it out in the world, how do you get people to understand it or to see it or to build that awareness amongst so many other kind of mega brands, you could call them the Nikes and the Adidas and the Under Armour type brands, or even the golf brands that have been around for a long time. They're all great brands, and they've done really well to establish themselves there. And then for us to kind of break through and make a name for ourselves has been, you know, I think probably the biggest challenge, something that we knew we'd have to undertake. And you know, basically it's been shirt by shirt, kind of a grassroots effort to build that awareness. You know, every pair of pants somebody buys, they wear it, more people see it, and they come into the shop. And we really haven't been, as I mentioned in the beginning, like a very large brand that was, or a brand that was looking to really go big from the start. We really wanted to build a product and demonstrate that we had the market validation and the traction and things like that, and then kind of keep building from there. So, you know, it's still a work in progress. We kind of have a bit of a cult following now, and with the retail store, we get people from all over coming in. So I think we're making progress with that. But then again, it's an ongoing challenge for any brand. It's just it's just the natural process of building a brand, and it's not I don't believe it's an overnight thing. I think to build a brand that we want to last for years and, you know, generations beyond us, you know, it takes time to build it authentically from scratch without trying to kind of manufacture it. I think these days it seems like everybody's getting exposure really quickly, but I think ultimately all brands have to spend the time to build something from scratch, something of value from the ground up. So, yeah, the clothing part we could always figure out, and then it's just how do we connect with other golfers out there. So, you know, speaking with you about these things, Adam, you know, it's great just to connect with your audience, and I'm just happy to be doing what, you know, the only thing that we dream about doing is making great products and getting it out there for golfers.
And folks, go out to stateapparel.com and take a look at all the great products that Jason and his team have on the website. And if you're in the Bay Area, drop by the Urban Clubhouse, hit a few balls, have a couple brews, you know, get to meet the staff, and you're going to like what you see. As I mentioned, I've tried one of the shirts. It's a great product, super high quality, and one of the more unique pieces of, golf equipment, I guess we could say it, that I've ever used. And so you can also find State Apparel on Twitter at State_golf. Jason Yip, you have been a pleasure to speak with, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Awesome. Yeah, likewise, Adam. Thanks for the time. It's been great.